Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Saturday Mo.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our play-by-play call of the day. Madison Bumgardner was great, and finally in the ninth inning, they gave him support.
The right center field, going back is Bruce, still going back. Adios, Pelota! It's a three-run homer for Connor Gillespie.
John Miller with a call on KNBR in San Francisco last night, and now the Giants get the Chicago Cubs. Johnny Holliday is going to be involved, by the way, in the Nationals broadcast against the Dodgers. Very pleased to have Johnny with us. Johnny, here's our chance to get the ratings up and rolling here. Maybe, maybe not.
Hold the call from the White House. what I'm trying to Steve owns most of State College. I want him to own all of State College, and I'll be with you in about an hour and a half. This shouldn't take long.
Whoa,
hey,
whoa.
Hello.
Hello, John? Johnny?
Yes. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, my friend. Glad you cleared out the time for the next hour and a half.
Yeah. Well, listen, I want to thank you for the directions how to get up there from Hutt Valley, Maryland.
Yeah.
And I checked the directions you gave me. I will wind up in Charleston, South Carolina.
And that's really not the best spot to be in. All right.
I don't think so. No, you had me going completely south, but I'll find it. I guarantee you. How you doing?
Doggone it. You know, I thought I had a plan.
Yeah, just take 83, and then, oh, you're on your own after that.
I got that right. I'm doing well, my friend. It's great to hear you.
Hey, same here.
Okay, let's start with the offense put together. Hills last year, Perry Hills out of Pittsburgh, had trouble with turnovers. Not so much this year. What's the staff emphasized to him and game plan for him that allows him to succeed in this offense?
I think make it simple and make it where he doesn't have to do something he's not comfortable with. Perry is a terrific, terrific athlete. He was a state wrestling champion when he was in high school in Pittsburgh. That has certainly helped him in college football. But I think what Walt Bell, in fact, he told me a couple weeks ago, the same thing you just asked, I asked him the same question. He said, we're gonna play to his strengths. We're gonna simplify things where he does what he's comfortable with, what he's best at. And he's best at running the football, and he may be a better runner than he is a passer. But the thing that impressed me, Steve, about the first couple of games, he didn't throw a pick, and then he came back last week, and Purdue picked off his first pass. That didn't faze him. A lot of guys last year would have probably hung his head and walked off the field, and the whole thing would have collapsed around him. But he went right back to the next offensive series and led the team right down the field for a touchdown. And that really showed me something. It showed, I think, Durkin something about how tough mentally this kid is. He's a leader. He's got the respect of everybody on the offense. And I asked him on Wednesday, yesterday, about how big a game this is with Penn State, because he knows a lot of the guys. They know him from being up in Pennsylvania. And he said, I dislike every opponent. Every opponent to me you want to beat. And I'm sure that's the same for McSorley there at Penn State. The same thing. He's not thinking about, rivalries. He's thinking about beating the next team. And I think the toughness that Perry Hills has showed this year has caught everybody's eye.
That's exactly right. The running game has been outstanding because obviously Perry's really good at the RPO part. But the backs, they've been able to rotate a lot of backs. Are they interchangeable parts, Johnny, or are a couple of these guys who do maybe a couple things differently than the other one does?
Well, You know, the funny thing, Steve, is when he lists the running backs for this week, he says normally you're seeing a two deep, like Penn State or any other school. Mm. You're going to list the starting running back, and there may be one situation where you have such and such or such and such. Right now he's got Harrison, Johnson, Edmonds, Goins, Funk, Brown, as co-starters. So any of those guys can start, and all those guys produce. Probably the biggest, the most physical would be Trey Edmonds, who's 6'2", but everybody else is under 6 feet. Goins is 5'9", Funk is 5'11", Ty Johnson, a kid that was the Big Ten Offensive Player of the Week with 204 yards last week, he's only 5'10", but he goes 205, and the kid who's the leading rusher, the freshman kid from DeMatha, 5'8", 193. And Wes Brown is 6 feet, and he was the starter last year when he was healthy. He's only played a few downs this year. So I think that's a real, real plus to have as many guys as he has able to run the football.
Derek Haywood has always really impressed me as an outstanding blocking tight end. And they added in Teldrick Moore from New Mexico State, who's a really good receiver at New Mexico State. But I watched the tapes, Johnny. He really can block. What kind of difference have those two guys made in the ability for Maryland to generate a ground game?
Well, I think the thing about Haywood is last year he knew all he was going to do was block. He wasn't going to catch the ball. But they've been throwing him the ball. He scored a touchdown a couple of games ago, and he's a big prototype tight end, 6'5", 230, 235. And when you talk about Morgan has got over 1,500 yards in receptions, most of it, of course, at New Mexico State, where he transferred to Maryland. But he brings tremendous speed, and he brings that kind of like the veteran leadership, like he's a senior. Derek Hayward's only a junior, so I think they kind of feed off these guys, and DJ Moore's another wideout that's got tremendous ability, and as deep as the running backs are, Steve, he's got 9 guys listed on the depth chart, and each one of those guys catches balls. I think last week against Purdue, he might have had 13 or 14 Terrapins caught a ball in that game. So the versatility and the options and the whole new offensive scheme that Walt Belt has brought here has really, you know, taken things to a different level. Totally different team than we saw last year in Baltimore against you guys and 2 years ago up there at the Penn State.
DJ Durkin, of course, comes in, and you can see some of the influences of what he did at Michigan and what Maryland's doing defensively right now. What are a couple of those items right away, and how is he using Will Likely within this scheme?
He's using Will Likely offense, defense, special teams, but nobody kicks to him. They've wised up, and they know that if you punt to Will, he's had two punt returns for maybe 3 or 4 yards. The rest are all fair catches, and they just don't kick to him. But he's got Likely in some offensive packages as a wideout. He had a tremendous game last week against Purdue, and I don't know how many tackles he had, but he had a whole bunch of them. And so he's an all-conference, you know, a defensive back. He's in a nickel situation. They move him all over the field, really, to take advantage of his athleticism. And I think the biggest difference that Durkin has made is he comes in and he tells everybody in this team, everything's up for grab, guys. I don't know what you did last year. I don't want to know. All I know is what I'm going to see in practices, and the people that play the toughest and show me the most in practice are going to play in the games. And I'm not afraid to play you freshmen. I'm not going to sit you out for a year if I think you can help this team right now. And he's played a whole bunch of freshmen this year. And I think his leadership, the guys know that he said to them, I'm only as good as you are. Coaches are coaches. The players are the guys that win the game. We don't win the games. So I'm with you every single step of the way. I'm with you in the dorms in August when you're going to practice. It'll be hot out there. I'm with you. And let me tell you, that made a big, big change in the whole attitude of this football team, the way that he's embraced everybody and the way that everybody's embraced him.
And it allowed him to get to know guys, because there's some guys you can push and there's some guys that you can't push.
Yeah, ex- Exactly. Exactly. And that's what he's done. Here's a perfect example. Levern Jacobs was the leading receiver last year. He has caught for the season one pass.
Right.
And he's way down the depth chart because these other guys have played a little bit better than he has. But I think if you ask anybody in this team what they love the most is that even if you're a backup lineman, you know you're going to play. And he plays a lot of guys because he doesn't want to get caught as the season winds down in a situation that a guy goes down with an injury and somebody who hasn't played has to come in. Well, that's not the case this year. Everybody's getting minutes. He plays a lot of guys. And I think with that hurry-up offense, the spread offense he's brought, they just hope to wear the opposition down. And he told me, he said, if I can make Steve Jones work a little harder in that booth upstairs there, try to figure out what we're doing, I've accomplished a lot.
Well, he's got me spinning.
I said to him, hey, how about me? I don't know what you're doing half the time either.
The one game I really took a long look at, I did watch a tape of the Purdue game, but I took a long, hard look at the Central Florida game because I want to see how a team reacts when they get pushed. Johnny, when they got pushed, what did you like?
I like the fact that they could have lost that game, but they didn't. I mean, that was really the first time that this team has been under a little bit of adversity, and you don't want to lose to Central Florida down there when you've already won a couple of games. You beat Howard, you beat FIU, and that would have been an absolute devastating, demoralizing loss had they lost. And at that point, Steve, that was the best team we had played. They're better than FIU, they're better than Howard, and then along comes Purdue, and they're better than everybody else. Now comes you guys, and you're the best team without question they will face so far this year. But that really showed me something. They could have folded. Last year's team would not have won that game.
Right.
But this year's team, they just kind of knew that, hey, okay, we got work to do here, and this team has pushed us all over the field. They won the statistical battle without question. But that's what I was impressed with the most, the way that they hung in there. They could have, and, I'm sure Central Florida saying, we should have won that game. Possibly, but they didn't. And terrible conditions and hardly anybody there. And it really showed me something to have them win that game.
Final question, Johnny, then I'll let you go because the writing.
What do you mean, final question?
Yeah, the writing spike has been too much. They can't, they can't handle it here.
Yeah.
You and I could do this for like 3 or 4 hours. You know.
Yeah, we really could. You know, I'll even come up and be in studio.
Whoa! There we go. We're rolling now.
The
Orioles got eliminated the other night. Of course, you got the Nationals coming up, obviously, with what they've got to do with the Dodgers. And the Ravens and the Redskins are going to play this weekend.
Wow.
So in that area, is this getting noticed, the 4-0 start, that DJ's got some things going for them at Maryland right now?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I really think they're starved for Maryland to be good in football again. And they were with Ralph Friedgen when Ralph came in, a couple of bowl games and 10 wins, an ACC championship, and then things kind of dropped off the screen with Randy Etzel the last 5 years. And, they're talking about, well, Maryland's a basketball school. Yeah, but they used to be a football school, too, when they won the Southern Conference. They won ACC championships. They were in the top 10 year after year with Bobby Ross. And so it's been a long, long time since they had this kind of enthusiasm, this kind of interest. And, everybody's kind of excited about this. But everybody also knows it's a long year, and Penn State is just a terrific, terrific football, not only team, but I love James Franklin. He was one of my buddies when he was here coaching, and I know what he can do, and I know what a great atmosphere it is to come up there. And it'll be interesting how they handle that situation come Saturday. But everybody's taking notice, yeah. But the problem down here is you got so many different diversions. You got baseball, you got the Orioles, you got the Ravens, you got the Redskins, and it's all fragmented. And you got to try to get your piece of that pie. And I think they've done that this year.
Yeah, in fact, James Franklin wanted me to say hi to you, and the Galt wanted me to say hi to you.
Oh, the Galt guys,
And they said, boy, we. We really miss a guy that announces games like Johnny does.
How about Jamal? How's Jamal doing?
Jamal's doing really well.
Give him my best.
Yeah,
give him my best. How much time have we gone here?
We've gone 14 minutes so far.
Give me the calculator because I charge $106 a minute.
Okay. 104.
So, 104 carry the five. So I got a pretty good bundle here.
Yeah, you did really well. And do you remember the IOU I gave you last year?
You're going to do the same thing this year.
It rolls over. It's like running a tab.
I told my lovely wife, I said, you know, if Steve Jones and I live closer together, you know, you might be on the option chair because I said, we have more darn laughs when I visit with him.
Oh, God, yeah.
On the same plateau, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. It'll be fun Saturday, shouldn't it?
It will be a fun Saturday. It'll be fun seeing you in the entire. That's one of the best things that's happened about, you know, I know it's been tough for Maryland fans to say, hey, look, no ACC. That's tough. I mean, I know, and that's really been hard, and I completely understand that. But for me, it's been great because it got you back into the conference. And the travel distance, despite the bad directions, isn't that bad.
Yeah, well, if I'm there Saturday, it'll be because of you. If I'm not there, it'll also be because of you. Do you have any friends in the Pennsylvania State Police that can help me once I get around Harrisburg?
Well, I only have one slice of option of advice on that. Always remember the police escort's in front of you, not in back of you.
Yeah, it's better that way. Yeah, I got you.
Johnny, I'll see you Saturday. It's always great catching up with you, my friend.
I can't wait, Steve, and best of luck to you guys on Saturday. It's a great program you got up there at Penn State.
Yeah, I really like what DJ's doing down there, and I love what they're doing, by the way, with the old Coliseum, that they're transforming that over.
Yeah,
the old fieldhouse with Cole Fieldhouse, what they're doing to make it into, and I guess what, a tunnel underneath the road to get over to Maryland Stadium? It's great.
They're doing that. It's going to be absolutely spectacular, and I think it should be done by the middle of next year. It looks so funny now because it's just a shell. There's nothing there. Yeah. And I remember all those years and all those games and just so many wonderful memories of Cole Fieldhouse.
Let me ask you just quickly. I mean, I go into Comcast or Xfinity. I guess it's Xfinity.
Yeah, whatever it is, yeah.
Yeah. And I've told people that in the Big Ten, when you entered the conference, that became the best atmosphere I was in for basketball anywhere.
Xfinity Center?
Yes.
Yeah.
And give me a difference between what it is now to what Cole was like, because the fans here didn't get a chance to experience Cole. Because whenever Penn State played Maryland and I did the games, it was at Hershey Park. It was at the Baltimore Civic Center. I never did a game in Cole.
You never did?
No, because they always played neutral.
They only sat 14-5, and you had that atmosphere. The heat was always turned up. So you were perspiring. Even the broadcasters and media people were aware that you better wear some light clothing when you came in because Lefty wanted it to be hot. Gary wanted it to be hot. And when they came through that tunnel and Lefty came out with that presidential V and the band struck up Hail to the Chief and the people went nuts and Gary came out with the left-handed fist and they just waited for that and 14,000 people erupted. And they had a lot of history too, Steve. You know, they had the NCAA championship game there back in 1958 or 57 when Texas Western 60, upset Kentucky.
Yeah, 66.
1966, yeah. And Gary was there as a high school kid, and one of my buddies played in the Kentucky team named Bob Talbot. Bob Talbot used to be the head coach at GW. And to this day, he swears that the toughest place he's ever played in was Cole Fieldhouse. I think Xfinity will probably get there sooner than later, but it's more like a pro arena, like so many arenas are this day and age, that, you know, it holds a lot more people, a lot more glitzy and fancy and shiny and new and stuff like that. But I think it's getting there, and probably the best thing for us was to get in the Big Ten. It's been terrific.
Yeah, and I'll say this. When I went to the campus, and, of course, you know, did the couple of years ago, the first time I did a game in the center there, I actually went over to Cole because I wanted to walk around it because of the history behind it, because I've never done a game it, but I wanted to at least say I went in there and saw it, because I wanted to see what it might feel like having that big bowl descended down upon a court.
Wow.
Yeah.
How was it?
It was incredible. It really was, to see it, and I thought, wow, it's a shame. It's a shame that, you know, that obviously brand new and glitz sometimes has to, you know, and we realize it's progress, but the, you know,
sure.
But still.
Well, you got to do it, I guess, and, you know, you have to keep up with the times, and I know recruits, when they come to Maryland and see Xfinity Center, wow, look at this, and I'm thinking, yeah, but you should have seen that. That was pretty impressive, too.
Okay, that's 8 more minutes times 106.
104.
Oh,
104 times, hold on a sec, times 8. That's $832.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, we'll add that to the tab.
Okay, let's put it on last year's tab with 765 plus 765. That $1,597. But, you know, we can talk about it when I get there.
Yeah, we will. And it may be in gift certificates.
I understand that. You know, I have no problem going to Buffalo Wild Wings. None at all.
There's one in every town.
there's more than one.
Johnny, I will see you Saturday.
All right,
I appreciate it. See you.
I'll see you Saturday, huh?
Thanks, my friend. Great to hear you.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
He is. That's the second Maryland got in, the first thing I thought was, I get to reconnect with Johnny. There's no greater guy out there than Johnny Holliday. Just take my word. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us today. A few moments, Roman Stubbs, Washington Post. Bob got all excited. You have a Washington Post writer on?
Oh,
great.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the Electoral College.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, this is great. They actually have a sports section, apparently, in the Washington Post. Who knew?
I am taken aback.
Yes. Hey, Johnny Holliday, what a trip he is. Oh, boy.
You know what? I've become really good friends with Johnny. I just really, really like him. I mean, he's just a great guy. He's a funny guy. No ego guy.
Yeah,
none.
Yeah.
Zero. He's just a lot of fun to be around.
I'm going to say, he'd be like the great post-game tailgate guy, wouldn't he?
Tell you, he's a great play announcer. He's really good. I enjoy listening to Johnny do games.
You can tell the enthusiasm in his voice just talking to you and me.
Oh, yeah. No, he's good, and he's, and I'm not going to get into how old Johnny is. Johnny's older than I am. And
he's 46 then.
He is amazing. I mean, amazing. The profession is better for having him in it. Our sports bozo of the day, and this has happened before. Where someone has made a criticism of Jessica Mendoza, and
cue the music.
Yeah. And regretted tweeting it. So here's the story. He's apologized for it. His name is Brooks Marlowe out of the University of Texas. He's 23 years of age. 29th round pick of the Astros. And he tweeted out, "No lady needs to be on ESPN talking during a baseball game, especially Mendoza. Sorry." Oh, boy.
Oh! That brings people out of the woodwork.
That tweet was deleted by Marlow minutes after it was published. The Astros then spoke to Marlow shortly after the incident, sent along the following screen grab of his apology. I need to apologize for my tweet earlier regarding Jessica Mendoza. It was inappropriate, insensitive, and does not reflect who I am. Look, just don't send the stuff.
Social media has cost more than a few people their prestige, their status, their jobs.
Yeah. I mean, look, everybody in this business gets criticized. She might get more than her fair share, and which is a shame because, when you watch her analyze hitting, she does a great job analyzing, especially hitting. The other day she was talking about how close the hands happen to be to the body on a base hit. On an inside-out swing. It was great analysis. I mean, but there are people out there, believe it or not, who didn't like Vin Scully. I know it's hard to believe. Let's face it. Anything in her direction is going to get more attention.
Sure.
And she probably gets far more than her fair share of it. So he apologized for it, but, geez, do I send it out? What good does that do? It didn't do any good. I mean, my goodness, there may be a point someday you make it to the major leagues and she's talking glowingly about you. I don't know. So,
yeah.
You don't know. I mean, because I don't think this is a short-term thing for her. I think she's going to be on ESPN for a while.
No doubt.
All right. Okay. I want to bring in Roman Stubbs, who joined us last year from the Washington Post. We had to pick one guy in the staff that is not writing about the Trump campaign in one form or the other. It's Roman. Roman, welcome. Great to have you with us. And what's the difference between the Maryland team we're watching now and the one we watched last year?
Yeah, I think a lot of people have obviously talked about just the demeanor of DJ Durkin and the amount of energy that he brings. I think that's a cliche. I think every coach probably brings, a tangible amount of energy. But this guy really takes it to another level. He's hardcore and he's kind of assembled a staff of, diverse coaches. There's veterans, there's young guys, but they all have this like-minded, just energy about them. And they've added these little wrinkles to the program, playing music, blaring music in the facility at 5 a.m. clockwork every morning, doing things at practice, getting in the faces of their players, trying to introduce them to Big Ten play, just doing little things, to just kind of rock the culture here. And, even something like, the depth chart every week, they basically leveled out and put jobs up for grabs. Now some starters are more entrenched than others, but there's a lot of jobs up for grabs all the time. And so, we're seeing players that were scout team members that were kind of often forgot about reserves the last couple of years. They're now really big contributors on this team. And that kind of goes to show that Durkin, just wants energy. He wants, kind of a revitalized, kind of approach. And that's the first thing. And you can see it on the field and their demeanor. Obviously the running game, the offense is more diversified. It's a different attack. It's quick throws. It's heavy on the run game. They're rotating offensive linemen. They're rotating six running backs. They're just doing different things. And then defensively, they're just blitzing a lot more. They're being more aggressive. Like you said, they haven't played anybody. But there's just a lot of different things. And I think it starts with just his personality and his energy.
He also stayed with them in the dorms at training camp to get to know them better. What kind of impression did that make on his young people?
Yeah, he had never done that before. I mean, not even when he was with Harbaugh at Stanford or Michigan. He wanted to, I think, to send the message that, that he's not going to ask these players to do anything that he's not willing to do himself. So he eats with them. He is working out with them, obviously not lifting as heavy, but, his assistants are running sprints when they fumble the ball at practice. They're out there with the guys trying to keep up, jamming them at the line, the defensive back coach. They're just doing things that the players do. And I think the kids love that, and they really need to do those things to turn around a struggling program like this. I mean, there hasn't been this type of energy here before, and I think that's what you need to even have a chance. I'm not saying that, you know, they're going to succeed, but I think he gives them the best chance and kind of gives people a sense of, well, if we can't succeed with this guy, then it might be hard to do with anybody else. So I think that's kind of what he was going for.
You mentioned in talking about the offense, heavy on the run, a lot of short, quick outs. Perry Hills had a problem last year throwing interceptions. This year he has only one. Does this offense fit exactly who he is, where he doesn't have to do any more than he needs to?
Yeah, I think, you know, Perry, obviously, he grew a lot this summer. There's a lot made about his work with Gus Frerotte, you know, just mechanically, some of the things that were getting him in trouble last year, like his stride and things like that were, you know, just the ill-advised decisions. But most definitely, you know, Walt Bell, their offensive coordinator, is putting him in good positions where he doesn't have to do too much. You know, he can kind of thrive in the intermediate game. And I do know this. Bell swears by his arm strength. He believes Hills has very underrated arm strength. We haven't really seen that a lot. I think we're going to have to see it because teams are going to start loading the box and trying to limit this running game as it kind of keeps on rolling week to week. And I think teams are going to try to make Hills beat them over the top. And so we're going to see his development, but I think he trusts Walt Bell in the position that Bell is putting him in, and it's obviously limited the mistakes. And I think Hills also deserves credit just for how much he's matured and how much fun he's having in this system.
Defensively, obviously, DJ is going to have a great influence on that because I know when I watch him on tape, they look at least schematically like what Michigan wants to do. Let's take a guy like Will Likely. What is this system meant for him? Because it looks like he's playing more like maybe a Julius Peppers would play as a freelancer.
Yeah, moving him into the slot corner and the nickel spot has really, you know, it's been big for him. He was out on the boundary a lot last year, and he had a rough year. I mean, he was still one of the better Big Ten corners, but he, you know, he was asked to do a lot. He was asked to handle all the return duties, chip in on offense, and then handle the other team's best receiver. I think, you know, the last few years we've seen the rise of this corner or the slot corner position. And as offense has evolved, it's become a more prevalent position. And I think it fits likely speed. It fits his, you know, how good he is with his feet. And really he's been a really, really good player in run support. I mean, he's led the team in tackles the last 2 weeks. He's got 22 tackles in two games. So, you know, he's smaller, but he's very physical and, you know, on third down and or whatever it is, he's a good player to have in that slot position where teams try to expose, you know, Maryland defensively.
All right. The one game that they played that was a close game was the double overtime win over Central Florida, where I believe all five plays run in overtime on the two offensive possessions were quarterback runs. Hills ran four of them. The backup ran the other for the game-winning touchdown. That's the one game where they got tested. So, Roman, in that spot where they weren't playing from behind and it wasn't just an easy slide home for them, what did you see in their reaction?
Yeah, you know, that's a game that they probably don't win, you know, last year, obviously. Last couple years, I think you can make an exception. You know, in state college a couple years ago, Maryland was able to pull that out. But, you know, that's just a game this program probably wouldn't have been able to pull out in recent history. And I think it did show kind of a resolve that Durkin has brought that he's trying to turn, he said this week, he's trying to turn these freshmen into sophomores. And he's got this unique substitution system where he's bringing in, you know, the younger players, freshmen, and he's pairing them with sophomores, he's pairing them with juniors, veteran players. So you never see more than maybe two or three freshmen on the field at a time. And it's just kind of an intriguing approach. I think we saw that there was really no panic late in that game. Everything suggested that Maryland didn't have the momentum, that the starting quarterback goes down. And, you know, they asked this, this true freshman who's never been on the stage to go, you know, to run a design draw and try to keep them in good shape for a field goal. And he goes and runs it in for a touchdown. I think it just shows that they're stockpiling talent and that they're stockpiling a kind of a culture here where, you know, any player could play any week. And I do think that that's different. I don't think every program embraces that. And, you know, whether that gets them 7-8 wins, we'll see. But it's something fresh. It's something kind of cool to watch.
Roman Stubbs, Washington Post, joining us to talk about Penn State and Maryland. The matchup is Saturday at Beaver Stadium, beginning at noon. Roman, it is Washington is an active area, always is, when it comes to sports. In fact, you know, the Orioles were knocked out by the Jays the other night. The Nationals begin their playoff series, I believe, tomorrow with the Dodgers. The Redskins and the Ravens are playing each other this weekend. At the moment, where does this start by Maryland fit into the sports scene in that area?
Yeah, it's Maryland football for a long time hasn't been relevant, obviously. I think there was some buzz a couple years ago when they joined the league, just basically out of interest in Maryland being in this new league, and that there were these blue bloods of college football visiting, you know, College Park for the first time. It was such a different feel than the ACC. But, you know, I know John Feinstein wrote a column this week saying that, you know, people should appreciate this year with Maryland football and place in the area and their place kind of on the scene here, because, you know, this doesn't happen very often where, you know, Penn State is kind of down, Michigan State's down. Maryland really has an opportunity, I think, to have kind of a cool year, to have a special year. We'll see this weekend. I think will be a great litmus test, but obviously they're not going to ever, you know, surpass Michigan or Ohio State, or at least not at this juncture, even Michigan State. But, you know, I think they have an opportunity to make some noise, and, you know, those programs will reload, and I think it'll be tougher down the road. But, you know, there's this feel of new energy. There's this huge $155 million facility going up. Recruiting is going really well. You know, they're behind the Buckeyes and Wolverines only in 2017 in recruiting, apparently, according to some of the major recruiting services. So there's a lot of buzz. I think maybe that'll wear off in year two. That newness will kind of wear off. But I think they have kind of an open door right now to kind of do something different and to make noise on the scene.
What's the biggest flaw with this football team that people at Maryland do have some concerns about?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a flaw. I don't think the passing game is proven yet. I think, you know, last week people were probably on the edge of their seats after Hills threw that early pick. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens when teams really focus on taking the run away from them. You know, what happens to Hills? What happens to this passing game? You know, we did see them struggle in pass protection and in the passing game somewhat against Central Florida, which, you know, it's intriguing and it's interesting. You know, 2 weeks, that's 3 weeks ago. It's interesting to see, you know, what strides they've made and whether they can handle, you know, this elevated road environment that they're going to see, you know, one of the cathedrals of the conference, you know, more people than, you know, they're going to play in front of all year other than Michigan. So, yeah, how they handle the road environment. And I just think it's the passing game is still improving. I think they'd like to get more pressure, even though last week they had six sacks. I think they'd like to get more pressure defensively, at times, and I think they just want to be more experienced. They have 13 true freshmen playing, and I think they're trying to accelerate that experience because there's going to be attrition eventually. There's going to be guys who probably go down, and they're going to have to rely on kind of some unproven players to kind of bridge that gap later in the year, I'm assuming.
Roman, an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Appreciate having me.
Roman Quinn, Washington Post. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Well, Bob, thanks for being with us today.
Great to be here with you, Steve. Love that Johnny Holiday. Hey, and great bumper music from Brent Guffey at the controls today.
Getting it done. I mean, we're just rolling in one get-it-done person after another.
We are. We got a deep bench, as they say.
Yes, we do.
And you'll be joining us in about an hour and 2 minutes or so.
Frank Molinaro, who was in the Olympics, will join us to talk wrestling.
Oh, boy.
And then James Franklin.
Yeah, Molinaro, a great Penn State wrestler down in Rio for the Olympic team. I watched him wrestle. I'm really excited about his future in 4 years from now as well. So good for him.
It takes a lot, though, for him to do it. He is not a Russian, Iranian, or old Soviet satellite wrestler where they're superstars. They're the ones that in that country make the money,
yeah,
drive the Lamborghinis. They are huge stars. In this country, Frank's going to have to gut it out financially for 4 years while training to get himself so he can go to the Olympic Games in Tokyo.
And tomorrow, Sean Carey comes back.
My brother will be here tomorrow. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Yeah, let's give Roman Quinn a lot of credit. He's the first Washington Post reporter to come on the air and not talk politics. It's good.
Absolutely. Where'd we find him?
In the sports section.
Yeah. We didn't know they had it.
Yeah. All right. Look forward to tomorrow. Hey, great job over there, Chad. Great job. Brent, great job.